Senate will come to order. Roll call by the Chief Clerk.
Roll call for Wednesday, January 28th. Anderson?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Honeycutt?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Excused.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions? Townsend?
Here.
Basie?
Here.
Bonflatern?
Here.
President Hines?
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Senator Burns?
Mr. President, I was waiting for the prayer.
Okay. Well, I had the prayer, then my father chronicled.
Most holy God, as we gather today and continue the work of the people of the great state of Wyoming, somewhat anxiously, help us to reach in and find that inner peace in our hearts where the voice of your guidance. Today is full bustle as we move from committee meetings to the gatherings of the full Senate and back to committee meetings and back again. Constituents, lobbyists, fellow senators, staff, family, and friends call upon us for our time and our attention. In the midst of the busyness of doing the work of which you have entrusted us, let us not forget the whisper we have heard of your voice in the quiet place. Knowledge, wisdom, and good judgment we need this day, and help us accomplish all that you need us to do. We ask this in the name of your most holy. Amen.
Join me in
the pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading corrections and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, the journal committee report is the journal of the January 29th.
Are there any objections? Being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Renee Hinkle, MD from Cheyenne, and there is no scheduled nurse. Thought for the day, don't expect to be congratulated for doing nothing. Not even Mosquito get a slap on the back until he goes to work. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, today we have sixth graders from Henderson Grade School, my alma mater. I've invited every one of them to attend the legislature. We had the fifth graders here yesterday. Sixth graders are here today with their teacher, Kelly Ketchum. Could you please welcome them to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate. We're glad to have you. The next order of business is introduction, reading, and references of bills. Senate File 3136, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 136, sponsored by Senator Carrigan, authorized by
Senate File 136 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 140, first reading of the bill.
Point of order, Mr. President. Could we have a check on that mic? We seem to have some difficulty hearing.
Not working. Is the other mic working? Can you? Does the reader's mic work if I turn it on up here? Any difference?
Testing. No? Is this one on?
Yeah.
Okay. Senate File 140, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern. Drug Court Funding, an act relating to the courts.
Senate File 140 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 142, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 140, sponsored by Senator Hines, Subdivisions, Agricultural Land Taxation, and Act Relating to Taxation and Revenue.
Senate File 142 is referred to Committee Number 3, Appropriations. Senate File 139, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 139, sponsored by Senator Cole, Hathaway Scholarship Program Eligibility Requirements, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Senate File 139 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 134, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 134, sponsored by Senator DeCaria, Embossed License Plates, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 134 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 143, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 143, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern, Marking Structures That Obstruct Flight, an act relating to safety.
Senate File 143 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 141, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 141, sponsored by Senator Johnson, Midwives Licensure, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 141 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House bills in first reading. House Bill 164, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 164, sponsored by Representative Simpson, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony, an act relating to controlled substances. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 41, noes 18, excused 1.
House Bill 164 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 150, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 150, sponsored by Representative Lubnow. Peace Officer Definition, an act relating to peace officers. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 150 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 118, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 118, sponsored by Representative Peterson, Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act, an act relating to institutional funds. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 118 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 155, first reading of a bill.
House Bill number 155, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Higher Education Matching Funds, an act relating to Higher Education Matching Funds Program. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 155 is referred to Committee number 4, Education, House Bill 135, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 135, sponsored by Representative Childers, Recreational Safety Act Amendments, an act relating to the liability of owners of land. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 135 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel, House Bill 93, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 93, sponsored by Representative Philp, Complementary Hunting Licenses, an act relating to game and fish. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 93 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. House Bill 3, or House Joint Resolution 3, first reading of the bill.
House Joint Resolution 3, sponsored by Representative Childers, Legislators' Term of Office, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify the term of office of legislatures and providing for implementation. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Joint Resolution 3 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 25, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 25, sponsored by Representative Illoway, Special License Plate Retention by Spouse, an act relating to special license plates. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 25 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 43, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 43, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Military Department Leasing Fees, an act relating to the Military Department. Passed the House on third reading, amended. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 43 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 107, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 107, sponsored by Representative Teeters, Stopped School Bus, an act relating to motor vehicles. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1.
House Bill 107 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 34, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 34, sponsored by Representative Illoway, Liquor Licenses Industry Representatives, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 34 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 119, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 119, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Genetic and Metabolic Disease Program, an act relating to genetic and metabolic diseases. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 119 will be assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January, excuse me. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 114, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 21, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 10, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 87, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, and Johnson, no. Senator Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 103, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 5, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 137, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Ross, Sessions, excused, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Bills on Senator Geis.
Senate File 87, Wolf Brucellosis Testing, has appropriation on it. Need to be re-referred to Committee Number 2. And Senate File 10, Brucellosis Management Program, has appropriation on it. Needs to be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, Senate File 87 and Senate File 10 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bills on second reading. Senate File 54, second reading of the Senate file.
Physical therapist licensure.
There is amendment. Will the reading clerk please read the amendment in?
Senate File 54, second reading, amendment number 1, page 3, line 1.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 54. Members of the Senate, this amendment does two things and only two things. It takes out in the bill and in the standing committee amendment the manual therapy portion of this bill. We heard testimony yesterday about the conflict between the language with chiropractors and the physical therapists. Suggest that that is problematic to the bill and seek your approval for deletion of that from the bill. The other thing that this amendment does is it takes out the medical or the physical therapy diagnosis and prognosis language of the bill, so that if you went to page 5, lines 21 and 22, you would then have language that says determine a physical therapy plan of treatment and assessing ongoing effects of intervention. I think we've heard with regards to the diagnosis issue and that language from probably you're all getting the same emails that I'm getting from physicians, particularly orthopedic surgeons, who are very much concerned with the diagnosis language of the bill. Quite frankly, when you look at the Standing Committee Amendment, I don't think that that solves the issue with regards to diagnosis. And nobody did answer my question with regard to what is a diagnostic label. I don't know what that is even here today. I believe it's still the same thing as a diagnosis. The problem is this. Physical therapists cannot order x-rays, they cannot order MRIs, they cannot order other tests, but all of those things are necessary in making a diagnosis. And although the good senator from Laramie addressed my issue with concerning a differential diagnosis, I still believe that to be a problem. I don't know how you can make a diagnosis without taking into consideration that there can be other issues going on in a person's body other than the mechanical joints and bones of the body or muscular. I know that you know that that these physical therapists do a good job, and I'm not trying to kill this bill, but I do submit to you that physical therapists and the way in which they've operated for all these many years, taking this language out does not affect their ability to do the work that they do. But I suggest to you that when you remove the physician component, in essence, from this, we're going to do direct access in this thing, you sure as heck better have that expertise behind you when you're performing these kinds of therapies and other kinds of modalities that physical therapists use. So I just believe that we have taken and tried to expand physical therapy beyond its intended use and beyond their ability to do certain things. I just think that they are not doctors, and they need doctors. And for the most part, I don't think your insurance policies are going to allow this kind of payment for testing or whatever else that they may do without the reference to it being prescribed by a physician.
30 seconds.
So with that, I urge your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that we need to get a few things straight before we can really take a close look at this amendment. First of all, we gave physical therapists direct access 3 years ago. So folks do not need a physician's or anybody else's prescription to go to them. So we got 3 years of experience in this area. No complaints, malpractice rates have not gone up. Speaking of insurance companies, they get malpractice insurance very easily, and it's some of the cheapest insurance, malpractice insurance in the state of Wyoming. Looking at the present act and what they can do right now and what they have been able to do historically, again, is in the crossed-out language on pages 4 and 5 under the present definition. What that definition says is that they can evaluate and that they can develop treatment approaches. They can use the utilization of physical measures such as heat, cold, air, light, water, so on and so forth in order to provide therapy. Correcting and alleviating an individual's physical and even mental disability, which we really haven't gotten into. So as a result, physical manipulation is the cornerstone of their practice. You take away their ability to provide physical and physical manipulation, manual manipulation, what do you have left? I mean, when you go to a physical therapist, they touch you, okay, and they work the skin, they work the muscles, and all of us have been there. And that's all this says. When the bill was initially drafted, it just simply said manual therapy because it's a description of what's presently in the law and what they do in every single state in this country. Because of the concerns that were brought up in the committee, it was further defined, which is what you see in the amendment, and which now with this amendment would be repealed, as well as the whole notion of being able to provide manual therapy. It's the cornerstone of their profession by repealing that. With regard to physical therapy diagnosis, it doesn't say physician's diagnosis or chiropractic diagnosis or an orthopedic surgeon's diagnosis. It says physical therapy diagnosis. And they have been doing that for years. They're trained in it. It's a basic class for when you get a physical therapy degree. And they get degrees from bachelor's degrees to master's degrees to PhDs. And by the way, Mr. President, unlike some of the letters we've been receiving on the email, they don't get their PhD degrees through the Internet. There are PhD colleges and universities in which they can get those degrees, just like chiropractors and other folks. With regard to a diagnosis, a certain type of diagnosis could be, and again, something they've been doing for years, could be if someone comes in with a torn meniscus. The PT diagnosis may be loss of motion, swelling, a weakness, and in those kind of instances, they're referred to an orthopedic surgeon. So referrals are a very important part of what they do. Finally, Mr. Chairman, with regard to the national coding document, which I put placed yesterday, these are codes in which they bill insurance companies as well as publicly provided health care. There are already codes in existence for diagnosis and as well as manual therapy, which I read off to you yesterday and which is in front of you. All of these folks recognize that they can provide manual therapy, and they have billing codes, and they've been billed and paid and reimbursed for years for doing that. And the definition for manual therapy is taken right out of the coding in which we pay them. Mr. President, if we were to pass this amendment, well, one more thing. By the way, as a reminder, in the bill, there's three places in which the Physical Therapy Board provides review of every licensee to make sure they have the capability of doing this, including ongoing continuing education. Mr. President, if we were to pass this amendment, it would restrict physical therapists more in this state than anywhere else in the country. That means we're not going to have the physical therapists that we need here in Wyoming.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Excuse me, just a couple of things. As my colleague from Laramie suggested, that the language on pages 4 and 5 is existing law, and all we're doing is making that better. If it's existing law and it's working, why do we need to change it? He talked about 3 years and no issues, but we're changing the definition and putting in diagnosis and prognosis. That hasn't been there before. So we're expanding the definition of what it means and what they do. And members of the Senate, if we're going to talk about this, at least from my perspective, if we're going to err, I think we need to err on the side of being cautious about how we approach this. Sometimes we're better off not doing things for different people than doing them for them. And I think I would submit to you that we might be exposing these people to something they don't want to be exposed to. I went one step further. Of course, I've heard from the orthopedic surgeon, their concerns are very valid. I talked to my doctor in Riverton he's just an internist. And Senator from Laramie County is right, or from Albany County is right. It is working really well with our physical therapists in Riverton. They're a good group of people, and this 3 years that they've had where they can, in fact, go to them first and the 12 different times they can go and all that works great. But then I talked to him about diagnosis and prognosis. He said, you know, we've got to be so careful because we're expanding what they do. They're not trained to do it. I think what we need to do is let them do what they're trained to do. Vote for this amendment. I think we have a bill that works for everybody.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think there's a little confusion here as to whether or not PTs have direct access today. Frankly, Mr. President, they do not have direct access today. It's a referral process. They're referred to a physical therapist, and they have direct access to that patient for a year. Then they hit that for a year, and then they have to go back through a referral process. 3 years ago when we passed this, they only had access to a patient for, it was a limited amount of time. It was either so many trips or just a few weeks. It was a very, very short period of time. And we broadened that out 3 years ago, but we still kept the gatekeeper. So they do not have direct access as the bill would propose. There's a repealer in here that repeals that section, that limits the direct access, that gets rid of the gatekeepers. And so for us to say that there's direct access today, that's overstating the situation which physical therapists operate under.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, speaking on and against the amendment, I do think my colleague is confused. There, we do have general direct access. You can go see your physical therapist right now today, any member of the Senate, without having to have a prescription. After a certain number of sessions, then you have to go back and get a prescription. And if you're a child under 12 and you're not coming through, as most of them do, the school IEP process, then you have to go see a doctor. And it's those remnants of the obstacles to direct access that this bill removes. But that's, Mr. President, not an issue in the amendment. Mr. President, I point out a couple of things on the page 6, line 14. It's in a list that may include but are not limited to, so you need to keep that in mind with regard to that. And it's a good description. That whole list is a good description of what a physical therapist really does. Yes, there's another healthcare profession that does some of those things too. They're competitors. And the next point I would like to make with regard to the issue of the diagnosis and the prognosis. I think the diagnosis concern really is that there are some physicians around the state that are having trouble understanding that there's some definitions of diagnosis that are not as expansive as their differential diagnosis. The diagnosis for the physical therapist, basically, is they're saying what they're trying to treat. And that's what the definition that we put in committee is seeking to do. I think Senator from Gillette gave us very good examples in the debate in Committee of the Whole yesterday that certainly, I think, helps our understanding. On prognosis, let me speak to that particular part of the amendment, because I do find that troublesome. A prognosis is a prediction of what's going to happen. Okay. You go to the doctor. He says, we'll give you this. This is what I think you've got. We'll give you a course of medicine, and I think it'll make you better. But if it doesn't, come back, and then we'll look further. Physical therapists are doing the same thing. The conservative course, you treat what's most likely to be, what it looks like, and exercises or deep heat or whatever. But if it doesn't improve, if the results don't match the prognosis, then we need to do something different. And that's all this is talking about. It's a prediction of what's going to happen so that both you and the physical therapist know if that doesn't happen, then it's time to look somewhere else. It may well be time to refer because there may be something that isn't apparent that's wrong. So I think it's important to leave those words in, and I would urge the Senate to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion? Or does the sponsor have his second time? Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, with respect, or Mr. President, with regard to the issue concerning prognosis, I believe the amendment will allow just what the good senator had indicated, because what a prognosis is not just, it is a long-term diagnosis that this is what this person's going to have under a reasonable degree of medical probability. A prognosis that this individual will have these problems for the rest of their life. That's not what we're talking about here, and that's why I still left in the language a plan of treatment and assessing the ongoing effects of the intervention. I think that's still, they're still able to do that. We have heard there has been no problems with the way in which things are going now, and so therefore direct access we should just take all, just open it wide open. But I will tell you that I recently heard from an orthopedic surgeon who does say that he has seen problems with the current law allowing direct access without a referral for 30 days or 12 visits. Those problems have ranged from incorrect treatment to a delayed diagnosis of a more serious condition. The question is this. It was mentioned by the proponents that if you have a torn meniscus, you will be referred to a physician. How does the physical therapist know there is a torn meniscus? He can't order any tests. How do we tell if there's a torn meniscus? You get an MRI. That's how you definitively determine that. So it's just a prime example of what we're doing when we expand this diagnosis thing. I certainly would not feel comfortable in going to a physical therapist and having him tell me that I have a torn meniscus. I don't believe that's within their capacity. So I urge your favorable consideration of the amendment. The
question is on Senate A file 54, second reading amendment number 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment have failed. Vision been called for. Those that in favor of the amendment, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. The amendment had failed. Second reading amendment, number 2. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate file 54, second reading amendment number 2, page 6, line 14.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would ask, the reading clerk has read this in, haven't they? Okay, I would move a second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 54 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes into the definition that we had a little discussion on just previously here. It twinks it just a little bit. It says, but does not include subluxations. And I think the good tall senator from Albany County can tell us exactly what a subluxation is because he kind of told me, but it's just basically exactly what the chiropractors do when they manipulate your spine. So it's just that fine line between a physical therapist and a chiropractor. And I'd ask for your, with that explanation, I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Neither for nor against the amendment. If it gives folks some comfort with regard to the language there, you know, that's fine. This is not something that physical therapists do. Again, the point of what we're doing here in this bill is just simply listing things that they've been doing for years and years and years, and they don't do subluxations. So if you want to include that, that's perfectly fine, especially if it gives you more comfort with the bill. It doesn't change anything, whether it's in there or not.
For the discretion, question is on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 54. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate File 54, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 60, second reading of the Senate file.
National Guard Youth Challenge Program.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File Number 60, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 1.
Senator Von Fladerin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 1 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 60. And fellow senators, this just inserts on page 3, line 1 after state, insert for this purpose. This point was brought up by the good senator from KC that we didn't actually tell the military which pot of money they could keep spending on this program should they need more than what the federal funding is. So this tells the military that it's the money only allocated by the legislature for the Youth Challenge Program, and that's the only money they can dip in to spend further spending on this program. So I ask your favorable vote on this amendment.
Further discussion? Question is on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 60. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate File 60, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 72, second reading of the Senate file.
Corporation Act Amendments.
Senate File 72, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 95, second reading of the Senate file.
Medical Necessity Review Procedures.
Senate File 95, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 98, second reading of the Senate file.
Fines for speeding trucks.
Senate File 98, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 101, second reading of the Senate file.
Trona Utility Shot Fire Certification.
Senate File 101, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 107, second reading of the Senate file.
Court Supervised Treatment Programs Act.
Senate File 107, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 110, second reading of the Senate file.
Designated Real Estate Agents.
There are amendments. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 110, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 11, lines 6 through 17.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This time would move the amendment and ask we dispense with further reading of second Reading Amendment Number 1. What I have here and what we have with respect to this amendment and what it does to the bill is address some of the issues that were debated yesterday in Committee of the Whole. If you go to page 11, subsection J of the bill, what you find in here is an agency relationship established between the buyer and the designated and the seller, and a designated agent shall not extend to the responsible broker. What you have is most time these licensees are going to be underneath a responsible broker. The purpose and the point of this bill, in large part, is not to relieve liability in discussions with members of this particular industry, but only to provide a situation where you can have, in a larger office, you can have somebody who represents the buyer and somebody who represents the seller be in the same office and not necessarily have to default to this intermediary position, that they can both still advocate for their respective client, and also avoid a dual agency situation, which is also another way of saying the conflict of interest that would prohibit you from doing that. While you may have your own opinions about that conflict of interest, ultimately the concern that I and others had with subsection J was that when we talked about not extending that agency, that's exactly how liability for wrong acts or unlawful acts extends. If your agent does those things on your behalf, then you're responsible for that, what that agent does. Keep in mind that not only will the agent benefit from the transaction, but so will the responsible broker. In talking with the industry, what they want to do is simply be able to have this in the office without defaulting to the intermediary. What the amendment hopefully does is simply allows that. It just recognizes and provides that you can have two designated agents in an office, that ultimately that will not result in a default to the intermediary, and that will not also result in dual agency. But at the same time, clears up that language where you're not releasing the responsible broker just because there are two agents in there. This is also, if you look, I think that the intent of the statute, if you go to page 12, subsection N, is that nothing in this section was to be construed to limit the responsible broker's responsibility to supervise licensees. So that's still intact. That was still the purpose of the bill. This, I think, clears up the fact where you, in subsection J, you're saying there's no responsibility or that you're cutting off that agency relationship, but in N, you're saying that responsibility is still there. So hopefully what this does is it really just it accomplishes what they desire out of this act is to allow two agents in the office to represent a buyer and the seller. Now, you'll have to figure out, as you regard this and your entire consideration of this act is whether how you feel about that when you have a buyer and a seller that are both represented in the same office. Somebody comes in with a low-ball price, somebody's got the opportunity and the responsibility to recommend to their client, the buyer or the seller, whether that is a low-ball price that's unreasonable, whether that's too high. Hopefully there's a Chinese wall and you rely upon the ethics of those individuals, those agents, to act responsibly, but that's the situation that we'll be confronted with, and that's what this bill allows, and you'll have to decide whether or not you like that. But for this amendment, I believe it clears up the liability issue and can allow this bill to continue to move forward and urge your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bevout.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, of course, the reason we brought this bill was to provide the real truth with another tool, and clearly the debate we had yesterday relative to the agency relationship, this bill could, in fact, go against common law. We thought we had that covered by the definition on page 12 because in no way, shape, or form do we intend to not have that designated agent be responsible and that the responsible broker would be responsible for that designated agent. If the comfort level of this body is that this you feel better about it, I think you vote it up and we move on because let's don't forget we're trying to make a better product for the realtors and the consumer to be able to transact the kind of business they want to do.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the amendment basically does no harm. It's if you would, I'll revert to an extension of the deep pocket theory that comes out in liability. They want to go back to the guy they think has has the most money, and that's probably the agency. I don't think it does any harm. If it makes you feel better about the liability part of it and will help the bill pass, I suggest you support it. I think the liability is there either way. It's just that you're extending it further up the tree, and that's maybe okay, particularly if it makes you feel better about the bill and will help it pass, because I think it is a necessary piece of legislation. Thank you.
Senator Landon.
Speaking on, and I believe for this amendment, I'm still catching up on real estate law here. I just want to make sure, just by taking out the language, shall not extend to the responsible broker, and then I guess in the amendment, I just want to make sure that we're accomplishing what the amendment is set to do. A responsible broker or transaction manager shall have access to all the necessary information. Does that cover the fact that we're now going to reestablish that relationship with the broker? I guess I just need a little clarification on that. Thank you.
Senator Ross.
To answer that question, what we did or what this amendment does is take out J and then reinserts it. So the language of about a responsible broker or transaction manager having access is still in there. It's just been repeated as the in the amendment. The dichotomy is that when you have two inconsistent provisions, you have in J that says that the agency relationship ends at that designated agent. But yet, in the next page, you have still vicarious liability. Vicarious liability only occurs when you have that direct agency change or chain. And that's all we're trying to say is that you can't. You ultimately, the bill would not work as the current language is, because you cut that direct agency line up. And that's how you get vicarious liability. So if you cut that off, even if you say in the bill, we still want vicarious liability, you've precluded that from happening, and that's why we modified J. And I think this language does it. It still allows for that individual agent or salesman, licensee, to represent a buyer, and another one to represent a seller without having to go through the intermediary process. I think it's a good fix. Talk to the proponents of the bill and those that are really, the Real Estate Association and them, and they've informed me that they're good with the amendment. I think it solves the problem, makes the bill better. Urge your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment? The question is, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senate File 110, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list? Consent list is Senate File 31, Brucellosis Surveillance Program 2, Senate File 47, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration, Senate File 62, Discretionary Clause Prohibition Act, Senate File 68, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 13, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool, Senate File 124, Education Reserve Funding, Senate File 125, State Employees' Compensation. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request that Senate File 62 be removed.
Any further? Revised list is Senate File 31, Brucellosis Surveillance Program 2, Senate File 47, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration, Senate File 68, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 113, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool, Senate File 124, Education Reserve Funding, Senate File 125, State Employees' Compensation. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 31, Senate File 47, Senate File 68, Senate File 113, Senate File 124, and Senate File 125. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross. Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 31, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 47, are there any changes? Landon, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Dockstader, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Any further changes? Burns, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 47, 21 ayes, 9 noes. Senate File 68, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 68, 30 ayes. Senate File 113, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 113, 30 ayes. Senate File 124, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 124, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 125, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 125, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, Senate File 31, Senate File 47, Senate File 68, Senate File 113, Senate File 124, Senate File 125 have passed the Senate. Senator Hammack.
May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
I, too, being a graduate of Henderson School, we have above us the second class of the sixth graders from Henderson School, and it was a great school, purple and gold, as I remember. And the teacher is Mr. Matt Bell.
Welcome to the Senate. We're glad to have you today. Senate File 62, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 62, sponsored by Senator Ross, Discretionary Clause Prohibition Act, an act relating to insurance, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I apologize to the sponsor for bringing a question at this late moment for this bill, but I talked to some people, and they were concerned about the fiscal notes, and it may have some cost to our group health insurance program. I wonder if the sponsor would mind answering that question, please.
Senator Rouse.
Thank you, Mr. President. There was testimony in the committee from the representative of the group health insurance pool. That individual did not testify as to any administrative or non-administrative fiscal impact. There was no, did not indicate that it would, that there was fiscal impact in that regard. And so I believe that's the best that I can answer for you at this time.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I guess I'm going to take this opportunity to say a couple of things. I've been told that there are a lot of accusations against this and the other bill about not being open, not letting people come to the table, not knowing about it and all this. And I have to tell you, I have letters on my computer if you want to see them. I sent letters to the governor. I sent letters to Blue Cross Blue Shield. I spoke before the Health Care Commission in June. I don't know how much more open you can have in a process with both of these bills. And then these last-minute accusations are coming forward. They knew it. Everybody's known it. And I had one comment relayed to me why should we bother? Because it's not going anywhere. None of these two bills won't go anywhere. Well, I have to tell you, Mr. President, that it's not because of me or Senator Ross or anyone that these bills have the support they do. It's because this has come over a 2 or 3 year period from all over this state about concerns about what we need in this state for consumer protection and what's happening to our citizens. So if you have been told this, that this was, they didn't have a chance to come to the table. This is not true. And if any of you don't or question this, I'll be glad to show you the letters the minutes of the commission meeting and so forth. Everyone has had a chance to participate in this if they so chose. So, Mr. Chairman, on both the bills, I have to say this because I know some of the accusations that are coming forward. So, thank you.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Senate file 62, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Senate file 62, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 62 have passed the Senate. Senate file 75, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 75, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Economic Development Account, an act relating to economic development. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate file 75, been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll, and this bill requires a two-thirds majority vote to pass.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquivel? Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend, Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern? President Hines?
No.
Jennings, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate file 75, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 75 have passed the Senate. Senate file 84, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 84, sponsored by Senator Hastert, aggravated assault choking, and act relating to crimes and offenses. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment for this clerk, please. Reading clerk, please rename the amendment.
Senate file 84, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 13.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment to Senate file 84. Mr. President, what this does is the good senator from Albany County had raised some concerns yesterday. And in consultation with
with him, talking with the prosecutors, the DAs, and chairman of the Judiciary Committee. It's language that we felt that added to and it doesn't hurt what we're trying to do in the bill and takes care of the concerns that that were raised yesterday.
Further discussion on the amendment? Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 84. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate File 84 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 84, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 84 have passed the Senate. Considerations of bills in general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of bills of business. Considerations of bills in general file. You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senator Landon.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First bill for your consideration is Senate File 63. The reading clerk will please read the Senate file.
Senate File number 63, sponsored by Senator Esquibel, text messages while driving prohibited, and act relating to motor vehicles. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Esquibel, Geis, Landon, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that they do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 63, text message while driving prohibited, and to explain this fine bill, I'll refer to
Senator Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you Senate File 63 and ask for your favorable recommendation. I will move the amendment. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and the reason I'd like to move that at this point, Mr. Chairman, is the amendment basically explains the bill, and I can explain the bill as we go through the amendment, if that would be appropriate.
Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 63, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do we vote on that amendment at this point?
Are you ready for the question on the Standing Committee amendment?
No. Order, well, I guess I should explain the amendment first and then ask for the... I'm sorry.
Thank you, Senator Esquivel.
I'm trying to speed up the process, Mr. Chairman.
And we appreciate that.
And I will try to speed up the process, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a couple of introductory remarks, and some of the remarks that I'll be making are applicable not only to Senate File 63, but also to Senate File 65. And this way I won't have to repeat them for the Senate File 65, which will be coming up after this one. Mr. Chairman, this Senate File 63 is basically prohibits texting while driving. And that in itself seems to be, fairly straightforward. However, it's become quite obvious that it's a lot more complicated than I originally thought in terms of the number of electronic communication devices that that have to be accounted for. Mr. Chairman, I stated previously this bill prohibits texting while driving, and it applies to the general driving population. A couple of things I'd like to mention before I go into the bill itself. There's a handout that was passed out to the membership dated 1-12-09, and it basically states that for the first time, the National Safety Council, which is a congressionally chartered entity, took the position of basically saying that using handheld and hands-free cell phones are dangerous. The director of that particular agency says there's no dispute that driving while talking on your cell phone or texting while driving is dangerous. The article also goes on to say that that the National Transportation Safety Board has been urging states since 2003 to ban the use of cell phones or any wireless device by inexperienced drivers who have learner's permits or intermediate licenses. And, of course, part of the reason is the proliferation of cell phones, the number of drivers on the road, things of this nature. And it talks about the number of states that have done some legislation on this. The next comment I'd like to make before I go into the bill, I think probably all the members of this body have seen bumper stickers or advertisements that talk about a certain Second Amendment right in our Constitution about the right to bear arms. And some of those bumper stickers make the comment that you can take my gun over my dead body. Well, Mr. Chairman, I would assume that many people feel the same way about their cell phones. And regrettably, it's becoming a common occurrence that that's happening. We had some testimony in the Transportation Committee that for the last several years there's been at least 5 deaths of young people, and it appears from the evidence that these deaths were directly related to the use of a wireless electronic communication device. That's the new term I'll be using rather than cell phones. Going into the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Esquivel, you have moved the Standing Committee amendment. Are you ready for the question on that amendment now, or would you prefer to go to the bill?
I prefer to go in the bill and bring the amendment into the bill because the amendments are basically a good portion of the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Continue, Senator.
It's titled Text Messages While Driving Prohibited. And this is Senate File 63. It's an act relating to motor vehicles prohibiting the use of, on line one, on page one, line two, we're deleting that line, line two, and inserting electronic wireless communication devices for sending, and goes on to read text or electronic mail messages while operating a motor vehicle, providing exceptions, providing definitions, providing penalties, and providing for an effective date. So we're eliminating the use of cellular and satellite telephones and instead using the term electronic wireless communication devices. That's, I think, a significant part of the body. Going down to line 11, we delete the words use of and insert after, I'm sorry, we after the words use of, we delete the balance of that line and insert electronic device, electronic wireless communication devices. On page 1, lines 14 and 15, we delete those lines and insert section A, no person shall operate a motor vehicle while using an electronic wireless communication device to write, send, or read a text-based communication. Going on page 1, line 16, we also delete delete that line through vehicle. So it goes on to read, this section shall not apply to a person who is using the electronic wireless communication devices. That'd be page 2, line 1. We delete cellular and insert electronic wireless communication device. Page 2, line 2, as mentioned earlier, we delete that line. Page 2, line 4, delete or, so that line reads, while the vehicle is lawfully parked. Number 2, to contact an emergency response vehicle. And on line 6, after vehicle, we delete the period and insert a semicolon and or. Page 2, after line 6, we'll insert and renumber. This will be small I 3. And that would read, to write, read, or send a text-based communication if the person reads, selects, or enters a telephone number or name in an electronic wireless communications device for the purpose of making or receiving a telephone call. Mr. Chairman, that section was recommended by a communication representative so that this would not apply, so that would be permitted, that a person could enter a telephone number in their electronic device. Page 2, line 9, after vehicle, we will insert or. Page 2, line 10, after duties, we would insert as an emergency responder. What that refers to, Mr. Chairman, is that we would allow individuals that are classified as emergency responders to be able to receive text messages or to send, because apparently there's testimony that they become emergency responders as soon as they're notified of some type of emergency. Page 2, line 18, delete cellular telephone and insert cellular telephone and insert electronic wireless communication device. Going on to page 3, line 4, We would delete the semicolon, insert a period. And page 3, lines 6 through 10, delete and renumber. And after line 10, we would insert a small 3i, to write, send, or read a text-based communication. That's a definition, which means using an electronic wireless communication device to manually communicate with any person using text-based communication, including but not limited to communications referred to as text message, instant message, or electronic mail. So that would be inserted on page 3 after line 10. And hope I was able to explain that bill somewhat understandably, Mr. Chairman, but that's basically the bill. I would move the amendment and move the bill.
Questions on the amendment? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if maybe ask some questions, but we have to be careful in terms of a bunch of old guys sitting down and trying to figure out what constitutes or encompasses by this. But if you have a car that has MapQuest in it, and you're downloading, you're flowing, in fact, if you're in Denver, it'll flow down information to show you where the traffic is, and you look over and read it. And as near as I know, that is an electronic wireless communication device, and it is sending a text-based communication. And, it's really saved my marriage having one of those things. Drive is great. When I was younger, if I want to go somewhere, I'd write the address out on a sheet of paper, and when I'm driving, I'd look over the paper and read it and know what address I'm going to. Now I've got one of these handy little devices here. You click it up, you pull the address, and you're looking at a text-based information, no different than looking at an address. And as I begin to start thinking about what we're doing, when you want to say, look, what we're trying to do is prevent kids from texting, that's a lot more narrow than what we're talking about here. And there are a lot of electronic devices. If you've got a GPS unit and you're driving around your ranch, of course, on a county road on your ranch trying to figure out where you're at, GPS is to taking and sending. It may not be text-based there. You may be getting coordinates coming down. But there are all kinds of things. If you're driving down the alley or driving down a street and looking at your, trying to get the address off your Palm Pilot, or you're pulling up an email where you sent yourself the address, you're going 20 miles an hour, what's the problem with that? There are a lot of these activities that are perfectly safe, and I know what we're all worried about. I think we don't like it when you're driving through and you see somebody turn a corner and they got a phone in their ear or they're texting. You can tell they're not watching the road, but this goes well beyond that. And I'm wondering if you've considered those things and what you've done to make sure that we can continue to take advantage of modern technology.
Senator Escobel, you were standing first.
Mr. Chairman, some of those comments did come up during the committee meeting, and I thought they were addressed in this bill by some of in the amendment, and I don't recall exactly how that was addressed, but there was some testimony about some of those concerns, and I thought they were. They were addressed in the amendment, but apparently not, but possibly members of the committee might have better memory than I do.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several years ago, when this first started coming up, I also had some of the problems that my good friend behind me was talking about. When I'm driving in town and every half or a third or a quarter of the people that I see driving around town have a cell phone plugged in their ear, and there's stop signs, stop lights, and all sorts of other things. That annoys me because they aren't really concentrating. So I thought of writing a bill that would either ban it in the incorporated areas or allow the incorporated areas to ban it. So I wrote a letter to the Legislative Service Office saying if a bill like that would be necessary, because I consider the highways out there to be different. First of all, don't pass a bill that can't be enforced. We don't have enough troopers out there to worry about cell phone use on the highways. The famous comment on any one moment, if everybody's there, there's 15 troopers between Nebraska and Utah on Interstate 80. What do you think it is on the other roads? We just don't have enough troopers. So they're doing a lot more than enforcing, would be doing a lot more than enforcing cell phone use, like 95 in a 75, things like that, 103 in a 75. So I separated into two. Outside of the incorporated areas, don't pass a law that can't be enforced. Inside the incorporated areas, I was told by LSO that the municipalities already have the power to restrict use of whatever type of devices they are. This is inside their municipalities. So I think the bill is too broad, and I think that it's unnecessary.
Senator Von Flater.
Well, I'm sure all municipalities through ordinances can do pretty much what they want to do, which they don't. It is enforceable because if you send an electronic message or you receive one, and if you want to argue with the trooper about his citing you, well, then I guess they'll subpoena the records and you'll show that at this time and date you sent something. We took receiving out of it because it's not your fault that somebody sent you something and, you know, turn your phone off. You shouldn't have to. As far as the panel-mounted instruments within your car, I'd have trouble believing that the trooper's going to get you on a GPS. But we could add GPS in here as an exception, if that satisfies some. But the intention of the bill is truly to get your attention back on the road. And so if you are playing with devices, is playing with that device any different than the texting and email that people are doing? Now, if you don't believe that texting and emailing is a distraction from driving or is such a part of life now that we have to have it, then I would say that you need to vote against this bill. But this was actually taken from some other states, the language. It is in some of the larger states that we have, this exact language. So we're not doing something that you wouldn't be in trouble for if you crossed over the state border into other states. So with that in mind, I don't think it's too broad. I think it's totally enforceable. I think that in general, any device that you're playing with, and I will tell you I'm a guilty party on that issue, any device you're playing with is a distraction. We couldn't make it broad enough to take care of putting makeup on, drinking your latte, reading the newspaper, which I've heard some senators may have done in their past. So with that in mind, this takes in pretty standard language, tries to encompass most electronic wireless communication devices because it was hard to get down there. The company that's brought out the greatest and latest in phones, pretty soon that'll be a electronic text or text-based messaging device. If it isn't already, it's probably already in the labs, but apparently not for sale at this moment. Some of the toy game devices can actually be used to text-based message to somebody in the car with you. It doesn't quite go out into the system, but they can do it like we used to do the old walkie-talkies. They can do it on a email-type text-basing mess to each other within the car. So there's way too many devices to try to say, you know, it is a cell phone or it is a PDA. So that's why the electronic wireless communication devices, that wording was used to update this bill. As I said, it's in many other states, this exact language. True, I can't say that we can exempt GPS totally, because is it any different that you're playing on your GPS while you're driving through bumper-to-bumper traffic in Denver trying to find your exit? I don't know how to exempt that. Still a major distraction. And I don't believe, and I'd have trouble believing, that if you punched it into your panel-mounted equipment in your car, that you're in violation. But then again, as the good senator from Laramie said, it is a text-based message coming back to you, probably if it's written directions. I'm not sure how to solve that problem. But this is a good start on text message, and we did really aim it at some of us that are emailing and text messaging, and that's the basis of the inattention that is being seen on the roads. I ask for your favorable vote on this bill.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just curious. I have a pretty basic phone and try to keep it as basic as I can. And the chairman of the Transportation Committee mentioned that they either didn't put or removed receive from the bill. Yet, even this very basic phone, 90% of the people that I know, including myself, when this rings, I look to see, because it tells me who the number is, or it tells me if it's somebody I know, somebody on my list. Am I breaking the law when I do that? And also, I he's right. I have no control over people who text, and I don't know if it's a text or not. When I open that up to see if it's a text, am I breaking the law when I'm doing that under this bill? I understand the intent of the bill, but that's not what we're voting on. We're voting on what's actually written in the bill.
Senator Nicholas.
My colleague from Sheridan, our colleague from Sheridan, points out, makes a good point. I know that, for example, the city of Laramie recently engaged in about an 8-month process of trying to figure out how to address this issue. And we ought to be addressing the entire gamut of problems with respect to people using their cell phones. You know, get a headpiece if you want to. There's a lot of things that you can do to engage in activities that are much safer. What they ended up doing is coming back and essentially creating a new offense, which was more of a careless driving, so that if you engage in activities that causes you to, where you're careless in your driving, then you essentially go to that activity. So you're not trying to say, in the instance of our colleague from Sheridan, that if you're driving down, you pick up, you see a beep, you blink down, it's a one-liner, you read it. That's not a crime. It's not careless. On the other hand, if you start texting while you're driving, that would be careless. And if you have an accident and you've been texting, you get sided with a careless. So you go back and look at what is the definition of careless driving. You expand the definition to say that if you're not paying attention, you know, it's no different than when you're 16, you got your girlfriend and you're smooching. That's careless driving. Shouldn't be doing it. But we don't say a crime, you can't smooch with your girlfriend. What we say is you have to attend to the driving. And so we define the crime to meet it. And what I would suggest to you is this is a bill that ought to go back to the interim committee. They ought to be looking at it, trying to figure out how do we define it so it includes, so that if you're a youngster or an oldster, you're driving, you're on your phone, and you're not paying attention, you have an accident, and that's probably, as the gentleman from Laramie County said, that's when you're going to get picked up. And if when you're picked up, they recognize that you've got your phone in your hand, you're texting, or you're on the phone, then that warrants a careless driving citation because you were careless. There's a better approach to do it that's more global, more encompassing, and deals with this. And if we're going to talk about text-basing item, let's talk about cell phones when you're using them. If we want to insist that people use headsets, let's do it. And that's fine, but it ought to be all treated together as a package to solve the entire problem.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, just calling our attention to what this maybe, and maybe this will, you know, let people stop and think that maybe this what this really does. On page 1, line 31, it says, for the purpose of making or receiving a telephone call, not looking at your name, the name down there, receive for the purpose of making or receiving a telephone call. And on page 2, line 5, it says, with any person use wireless, on page 4, just wireless communicating device to manually communicate with any person. So I think that pretty much covers. Oh, excuse me.
Senator Ron Flater.
Following the good senator from Laramie County. Do we have the right?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I was just quoting from the amendment on the new language that was inserted. I'm sorry. I didn't work it into the bill to give you the right. This is on the amendment. And so.
Thank you for clarifying that, Senator.
Yeah,
so, continue.
Okay. It just says wireless communication device to, on line 5, manually communicate. So I think that glancing down, looking at your GPS thing to see if you're in the right place and things, I don't think that that is prohibited under this bill, and I think because of those carefully crafted words, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sessions. Senator Meyer.
Chairman, so I guess with just after the good senator from Cheyenne brought that to my attention, I guess a Bluetooth would be illegal. In this case, is that correct or not? You're shaking your head.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed with the handout that was given out with this bill, that was this the article, newspaper article here, that there is some statistics given here about the number of accidents possibly estimated, it says. These are estimated. And I have some problems with this bill with previously what has been talked about here on the floor in the last little while. But I was kind of interested in these numbers because, first of all, it says that they are estimates. And second of all, I wonder if, in fact, we have the same statistics for people that are drinking coffee, soda pop, eating a meal, changing the dial on their radio, shifting gears, or whatever else they may be doing, talking to their family or their children or somebody in the car. Where is there just as much concern with those things, and what are the numbers?
Senator Escobel.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I want to apologize to the body for not bringing forward a more cleaner bill for your consideration, but I appreciate the comments and suggestions. However, in regard to the question asked by a good senator from Sheridan, I imagine I don't recall the question exactly, but I imagine technically what you asked could be a violation, just like speed limit is 65 and you're doing 66. You're violating the law. You're speeding. The chances are that you're not going to be picked up if you're doing 66 miles an hour in a 65-mile speed zone, but nevertheless, you're still breaking the law. In regard to the comments made by a good senator from Kemmer, I think the problem we're trying to address at this point is the fact that there's been such a proliferation of people using electronic wireless communication devices and the number of drivers on the road, that it compounds the problem tremendously. I think the article that I passed out talked about some, like, I don't know, 280 people. It made someplace along the information I've got it. There are 270 million cell phone users in the U.S., and 80% of them talk on the phone while driving. And I guess you could probably kind of include texting there somewhere, too. But it's just a proliferation of the numbers. I doubt that there are that many people eating hamburgers or doing other distracting things while driving. The main distraction, according to these different safety councils, electronic wireless communication devices, and they're expanding even more so. In regard to the question that the senator from Laramie mentioned about careless driving, the director of the Highway Patrol was in support of not only this bill, but in conjunction with the careless driving bill that's presently on the books. Based on his analysis, it was his opinion that both bills made their job a little bit easier in terms of enforcement. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ron Slater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my apologies to the good lady from Laramie County. I was reading the wrong one as you were explaining. But you did answer the gentleman and good senator from Sheridan's question about him looking at his phone, because there is actually the exemption in there that says for the purpose of making or receiving a telephone call. So you could actually look at your phone to determine what you need to do. The other issues are brought up. Careless driving. You can have that in a municipality, and I think many do. Actually, we don't have verbiage within outside of the municipalities for our highway patrol, and that is being dealt with in some manner. But careless driving was also considered an afterthought. It was after the wreck. The charge was careless driving, reckless driving. This is to stop the accident. Careless driving also seems to me to be a litigator's heaven. What's your definition? What's your definition of reckless driving versus my definition of reckless driving? Almost hitting the yellow line or actually crossing over the yellow line? Those kind of issues. This is definable. If you're doing an electronic message, there's a record of it. So this should take out. I mean, you can argue and go to court, but this should take it out. It will say whether it's received or sent. So it's not whether somebody sent one to you. You quickly look down at your phone, and the officer, for some reason, happened to be looking right in your window at that very moment and said you were using it as an electronic wireless device to send a text-based message. And you can argue with them, and then it'll show that it was the one you received. You didn't send it. So I don't know any of the other issues, like all the cell phone issues. That could be taken up in another bill. But once again, it's whether you were using it or not, his word, your word. This is very definable. This is why I like this bill. We can define it. Bluetooth is just a communication device between your handheld or wherever it happens to be mounted and your ear, or Bluetooth into your computer. None of that is recorded in the world, and none of that's text-based, because you can't really do anything with Bluetooth in text-based. I guess I can say it's Bluetooth if I text from my handheld into my computer. I don't think that has anything to do with driving. Only in the last year have they started. There's a line for troopers when they're investigating an accident where they mark down electronic devices if it had anything to do with the wreck. I have two in Campbell County, two dead teenagers, because that was the source of the wreck. One was actually using a phone. One was actually texting. And they're all recordable events. There's five in the state in 07 that they definitely blamed on the electronic device that caused deaths, five deaths. So I wish for your good vote on this, your aye vote on this, because it is a definable bill. It's a good beginning. It may not be the end of how we handle cellular text, electronic wireless communication devices, but it's a beginning and it's definable, and I think it's a good start.
Further discussion on the standing committee amendment. Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, the amendment, I think, cleans up the bill pretty well, and I would suggest that you support that. We've had a lot of arguments about, it's not enforceable. I would suggest to you that most of the other stuff that's out there that's dangerous is not enforceable. To me, what this bill does is send a message, particularly to younger people. Some of we old ones aren't smart enough to do it anyway. Don't text and drive. It's that simple. Now, are they going to get every one of them? Is the officer going to be able to do it? Probably not. Just like drinking coffee or putting on lipstick or whatever. But these have now become extremely popular. Most young people, some older people, have them all the time. And all this bill does, doesn't say we're going to catch you every time. It doesn't say that you're going to run down the street and that'll be the prime goal of officers instead of enforcing the speed limit. It says to the people who have them, don't do it. It's causing accidents. And so I think all those other things and trying to focus out of all of those things are side issues. This bill to me says to people, don't do it. And how many they catch or how many they arrest or what the tickets are, I think is kind of a side issue. It means this legislature is establishing a policy, don't text and drive. And I think sending that out to our constituents, and particularly the young ones, is a very valuable thing and will cut down accidents and will save lives. So I ask you to support the amendment and support the bill.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Esquivel's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 63, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
The motion has passed. We're back on the bill.
Question.
Further discussion on the bill? Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 63, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
The bill has passed. Division has been called for. All those in favor of Senate File 63, please rise. All those opposed?
Yeah.
Senate File 63 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Motion is carried.
Messages from the House.
January the 28th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 16, Cottage Food Industry, ayes 58, noes 2. House Bill number 92, Long-Term Care Partnership Program, ayes 59, noes 1. House Bill 110, Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, ayes 55, noes 5. House Bill number 149, Notaries, ayes 51, noes 9. January the 28th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 182, Low Profit Limited Liability Companies, ayes 60. House Bill number 221, Property Tax Appeals 2, ayes 60. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 34, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 56, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. January the 28th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 111, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Massey, Meyer, Peterson, and Townsend, no, Senator Nicholas, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The day after announcement will be adjourned. Senator Burns. Senator Burns.
No prayer? Mr. President, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources will meet tomorrow upon the noon recess. 20 minutes after the noon recess starts up in S-14, we will take up House Bill 11, Engrossed Dogs Chasing Wildlife, and House Bill 88, Game and Fish Pioneer Licenses.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development will meet at 12:30 in S-18 to consider bills Senate File 128, Scrap Metal Purchases, and Senate File 135, Risk Management.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs will meet upon adjournment today in S-14 to look at Senate File 119, Public Transportation Funding, House Bill 55, and Gross Judicial Vacancies.
Okay. I'll redo the motion. The motion was that we be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate is in recess.